Well, wasn't that fantastic? My name's Ross, and I get the unenviable task of following on from that, which I don't feel will be anywhere near as good. But the good news is I did bring a gift. Maybe this gift is because it's bribery. I'm trying to make you think this is going to be even better than the last thing. Maybe it's because it's my brother's birthday tomorrow. His name's Peter. Could be a gift for him. Maybe it's because it's my wife's birthday in just over a week. That's Anita. She's sitting just over there. Or maybe it's because there's a gift given in this Bible reading today. But one thing is for certain, you can tell that this gift was definitely wrapped by me. It's definitely given by me. In our family, there are different traditions, I think, for gift giving in families. And in my family, if you get a gift from me, it's usually really, really badly wrapped like this. I use recycled paper only, and so every year with all the wrapping and all the ripping of the paper that goes on, it gets a little bit smaller, the leftover bits of paper. And so there's always a bit of newspaper thrown in, and some years, well, most birthdays, there's a gift entirely wrapped in newspaper only. And I know that there's different traditions in different families, and I saw this when I first started going out with Anita. And her family has some unusual gifts. So when, or gift giving. So when I went around to her birthday, on her 21st and her 22nd birthdays, I arrived there very early in the morning. The tradition was the person whose birthday it was had to get up, creep around the house, try not to be seen by anybody, have breakfast, get ready for church or school or work or whatever it was, go back to bed, pretend to be asleep. Everyone had to line up outside the bedroom door in age order, from youngest through to oldest. They had to walk into the room singing one of their three birthday songs. Yes, they have three. And the person whose birthday it was had to pretend to be surprised. And I have a photo. Hopefully this actually works. Here we go. There's Anita on her 22nd birthday. You can see that she is in bed. She is unwrapping a present. There's lots of family there. You can't see that. She's wearing her work clothes and her hair is very straight. And I realised when we got married 3 months after this photo was taken that sometimes when she wakes up it's very bendy. But that's okay. Bendy's good. There are different traditions in different families for gift giving. And what I've noticed with all gift giving is there's really three stages to gift giving. So the first stage is the waiting stage. Now, if you're a parent, you'll have seen the look on this face many times. That is a very hard stage of gift giving. The second stage is the receiving stage of the gift. And kids, that's what you look like on Christmases and birthdays. And it's often the most fun stage and the loudest and noisiest and most exciting. And the third stage, I like to call the, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this stage of gift giving? Where you sometimes get gifts that you didn't really expect and maybe didn't even really want. And you've got to work out what to do with them. Well, today in our Bible reading, which we had so well done by the kids before, we see the giving of a gift. God's precious, special and exciting gift that he gives to his people and then out, like this showed us before, out into the whole world beyond that. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And at the start, we see the disciples are in that first stage of gift giving. They're in that waiting stage, which is a really, really difficult stage, even though they actually knew that there was a gift about to be given. If you were to read it from one of our pew Bibles, it would say this, that one day Jesus was eating with them. He gave them a command, do not leave Jerusalem, he said. Wait for the gift my Father promised. You've heard me talk about it. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So they know a gift is coming, but it's really very difficult sometimes to wait. And there's a little sense, I think, in the reading that the disciples didn't quite know what to do. That they were kind of huddled together in a group, maybe in a room. We had an upper room or something like that, I think was mentioned before. And it was a bit like when Jesus first died on the cross, I think, before he'd raised again, where the disciples just didn't know what to expect and they didn't know what to do now that Jesus wasn't with them. And they might have been a little bit scared and a little bit worried about what was going to happen next. And I wonder whether they'd actually even remembered that the gift was going to be so good, whether they actually expected it to be a really great gift. Because let's face it, Jesus had given them some really good gifts already. So first of all, they'd seen that he'd been raised from the dead. That's a pretty good gift. They'd seen that resurrection is real, that death can be defeated. Great gifts. They'd seen that eternal life was a real thing. Fantastic gift. And They'd seen that sins could be forgiven by what Jesus had done, by paying the penalty on the cross for what we'd done wrong for our sins. What could possibly top that as a gift? It's a bit like saying, what do you get the person who has everything when you're giving a gift? But then we get to the receiving stage, the actual day where the gift is given. Big things happen when the gift was given. There were things that people could hear, things that people could see, and amazing things went on. And wind is very, very loud. And in the right reading it says that the wind seemed to be coming from inside their room. Usually we think of wind coming from outside, but it was inside, and it must have been really big because people came running from all over the place to see what was going on. Even people who may not really have known who Jesus was, or certainly didn't know him personally, they came running to see. I think we sometimes feel like that God does do stuff in the world, but he does it for his people, for Christians. And we might forget sometimes that God does things for all people. And here's an example of that, that God's at work and people come from everywhere. They can see that something big is happening and God's acting. But there's not only things that you could hear, there were things that you could see as well. And the guys from Stacks of Praise showed us with these great long bits of cloth to signify like fire coming from people's heads, a bit like on the photo up there, but nothing getting burned. Now, there would have been a lot of Jewish people there, obviously. And this reminds me of another story that I've read in the Bible, of a fire where nothing gets burnt. And it's in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses is talking with God. God appears to Moses in a bush that's on fire, but the bush doesn't get burnt. And I wonder if the people knew that this meant God was there. There's a sound of wind. There's the fire with nothing getting burnt, that God is with them and he's arrived. But there's not just things that people could hear or things that people could see. Some amazing things started happening. And people began to understand languages they couldn't speak before or couldn't understand before. A bit like this guy who seems to be able to speak six languages all at the same time, which is amazing. Now, to show us how amazing it is, we're going to have a little bit of a game show up here, and we're going to call this game show Say What. And I'd like to introduce you the host of our show, Nicole Moss.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome to our exciting show. This morning, we've got two fabulous contestants. Allow me to introduce them. We have Angie and Sarah. Come on up here, girls. Big round of applause.
Right, you guys go on the top. Hey.
Right, to explain the rules for you, those of you who this is your first time, there are going to be 2 points awarded. The first point is for identifying the language being spoken. The second point will be to translate that language and make sense of it. So, we have two languages today. Our first language will be presented by Shirley. Where is Shirley? Ah, there we go. Shirley, can you stand up, please? Right. Let's see. Let's start with Angie. What language do you think that was?
Mandarin.
And what do you think she said?
I like chicken nuggets.
And Sarah, what language do you think that was?
Mandarin.
And what do you think she said?
The chicken crossed the road.
Definitely a chicken theme. Right. Let's see what the verse was. I am the Lord. I do not change. Each of you can have 2 points for that. Thank you very much. You were correct. It was Mandarin. Our next presenter of a language, we have Dominic Moss. Never heard of him.
Weet julle nie dat julle tempel van God is en die gees van God in julle woon nie?
All right, let's start with Sarah this time. What language do you think that was?
South African.
I think that's a nationality, not a language. Okay, and...
Portuguese.
Right, and what do you think he was saying, Sarah?
The pineapple is yellow. Pineapple
is yellow. When I'm at home, I like to eat burgers.
Okay. Right, and what Dominic was really saying was, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? And it was in Afrikaans. Right. Well, well done, ladies. Today the prize goes to... There is no prize. Everybody's a winner with us. Thank you so much for competing.
So on the day that the gift was given, big things happened, amazing things happened, and God was definitely there and doing some great things. Now we can see some of the things that God was doing in a guy named Peter. He was one of Jesus' friends, and he was there on that day. And I really, really like Peter. Of all the people in the Bible, apart from Jesus, he's probably about my favourite. And I thought I'd share with you the top five reasons why I really like Peter. Now, first I was going to show you, just here's what we think Peter might have looked like. We're not, that's remarkable. No, he might have looked like that. We don't know what he really looked like, but that came out of a kid's book. Now, I'm going to need a little bit of participation in this. I need a drum roll just to build a little bit of drama. So I thought maybe the kids and any adults, yes, could just do a bit of this. Okay. And when I go with that, it's time to stop, okay? And you're going to get very sore knees because there's five of them. Okay. Top five reasons why I really like Peter. Reason number one, drum roll, please. Because Peter can't walk on water. Now, I really like this story. It's in Matthew chapter 14. And Jesus comes walking out to the boat to see the disciples on the water. And Peter sort of says, hey, why don't you tell me to do that as well? And he goes, okay, come on out. And so he starts walking out. And pretty soon, he panics a bit and starts to sink and finds out he isn't quite able to do it. And his faith isn't quite there. And, you know, I like that because sometimes I feel like I'm a bit of a failure too. And I feel like I don't quite get it right. And sometimes I feel like I'm not quite good enough as well. And I like that. I can identify with that in Peter. Number two, drum roll please. Because Peter jumps into the water with his clothes on. And you see this in John chapter 1, chapter 21, where Jesus appears on the after he's resurrected on the side of the lake, and all the disciples are in the boat. And they see him, and Peter goes, oh, there's Jesus. And rather than wait for all the nets to come in and to sail in and to see him like you'd think we would, he actually puts some clothes back on, jumps in the water, and goes out to see him. It reminds me of a movie called Forrest Gump, where Forrest sees Lieutenant Dan just runs off the side of the boat and just keeps running in midair until he hits the water. A bit like that. He's a bit of a goofball. He does things without really thinking it through. It's a bit like me sometimes. I feel a bit like that. Well, reason number three why I really like Peter, drum roll please. Because Peter wants to build tents for Elijah and Moses in Luke chapter 9. Now, they're on a mountain, God's talking to Jesus. Elijah and Moses, who are long since died, are up on the mountain as well. And Peter says, why don't I build a shelter for Elijah and Moses for you? And it actually says in the Bible reading, it puts in brackets, the Bible says, Peter did not know what he was doing. He kind of gets it wrong. He doesn't need to do that. And I feel like I get it wrong sometimes as well. Reason number four why I really like Peter. Because Peter tells Jesus off. Now, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus has been saying that, you know, what's going to happen, that he's going to have to suffer and he's going to die. And Peter pulls him aside and says, no, you're not. That's not how it's going to work. Don't be silly. And he starts telling him how things happen. Not only that, he gets, you know, he's trying to tell Jesus what's going to happen, and not only that, a little bit later on, Jesus even needs to fix some more of Peter's mistakes. He cuts the ear off a servant, and Jesus has to heal him when he's being arrested. There's a sense that Jesus kind of has to keep fixing what Peter does. Sometimes I feel like I get it wrong too. Reason number five, drum roll please, last one. Because Peter says he doesn't know Jesus. Actually, I don't really like this about what Peter does. But it is hard to be a follower of Jesus. And it is hard to say to our friends that we know who Jesus is, we know God, and that God loves us. And Peter gets this wrong here. And I know I've got that wrong from time to time as well. But one of the reasons I put this up as one of my favourite, one of my reasons why I like Peter is because we also get to see what happens in Peter. We get to see what happens in him. He writes some books that we've been looking at in church. He clearly knows the Old Testament really, really well. He knows Jesus really, really well, and he helps us understand Jesus better. And we see on this day how the Holy Spirit can change people too. God takes someone who's broken, doesn't quite get things right, isn't always on the right track, and uses him so well, and lots of people become followers of Jesus because of Peter on that day and what he said. And the Holy Spirit can change us. And this is the person who, a couple of weeks earlier, had denied Jesus three times. He gets up and says some great things about Jesus. A little summary, not all of them, just some of the things. So in verse 22, he says, Jesus did lots of miracles. In verse 23, he says, he was put to death on the cross. He's telling thousands of people this. Verse 24, he says, but God raised him from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And he goes on to talk about the similarities and differences between David and Peter, David and Jesus as well. And David stayed dead, whereas Jesus rose from the dead. And he picks up again in verse 32. God raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses. Jesus is with God and sent the Holy Spirit. God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. And so repent and be baptized. And my favorite one of all is verse 40, where it says, and with many other words he warned them. There were so many things he said, they couldn't even write them all down. He just kept going and going and going. The Holy Spirit can take broken things and make them good and use them. And that's what happens here. Which brings us to the third stage of the gift-giving cycle. So I really like this photo. Hopefully you haven't seen that look on your kids' faces. I also really like this one, where the guy seems really, really pleased with the present that he's given, and the wife's not so sure. Maybe isn't quite what she was looking for, and I really hope this bloke does lots of cooking with that frying pan for his wife. And I've got a present here, and maybe we can open this present. I need a volunteer, someone who might want to come out and open this present. There's a... Who can we choose here? Eli, do you want to come out? You can have this present should you really want as well. So this is a present. You can open it up now. Be careful of the paper. I want to recycle that. You can just rip it. Just rip it straight off. There we go. It's a box. It's a box that rattles. Let me just stand on the end for you. There we go. Now you've got to open the box. It's not just the box. So maybe at the top up here. See how you go. Now pull it off and see if you like this present. While I was looking for presents out of our present box, I actually found one in the present box that hadn't been given to someone. It was all wrapped. It's not this. What do you think of that?
A pet net.
A pet net. Do you know what it is?
Not exactly.
No. So it's a little net that you can string up and put things on. To store. So that's got bears and teddy bears and stuff like that. But you could probably put something else like balls or footies or something like that. So you go for Essendon. So,
yeah.
So is this, it was already a little bit wrecked, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
came out of our present box. It's actually a bit dusty as well. So is this a good present or a bad present? You can be honest.
I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah. Yeah, you can also think about it for a while. It might be broken. The box was a little bit broken. Do you think you'll use it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Okay, that's a good gift for you. Well, thank you, Eli. You can have a seat now, mate. You can take it if you want. If you want it, you can keep it. No, he's actually... He has rejected the present. There is a present going afterwards to anyone who would like it. Slightly used and slightly damaged and quite dusty. Sometimes we get presents that aren't really that great. Sometimes they're broken. And sometimes they don't last very long. They break soon after you get them. And sometimes they're not really what we really want as well. And we've got to work out how to be very polite and how to accept them sometimes. But I wanted to remind us that the gift that God has given us is a great present. And it doesn't wear out and it isn't broken. And it is a brilliant one. Here's a few of the things that the Bible says about this gift of the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Isn't that an awesome present for us? That God's Spirit actually is living inside us. Goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit you receive doesn't make you slaves. Otherwise, you would live in fear again. Instead, the Holy Spirit you received made you God's adopted child. By the Spirit's power, we call God Abba, and Abba means Father. The Spirit actually makes us part of God's family. That is such an awesome gift. We are called God's children. In Galatians, it tells us some of the things that the Spirit does in us, some of the things you can see in us, in the Spirit lives inside us. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit the Holy Spirit produces is love, joy, and peace. It is being patient, kind, and good. It is being faithful and gentle and having control of oneself. There is no law against things of that kind. These are great presents that we have. And this is one in Hebrews. It actually is talking about Jesus, but it mentions the Spirit too. Here it says, "But Christ offered himself to God without any flaw. He did this through the power of the eternal Holy Spirit." The Spirit never runs out. It is eternal. And that's a fantastic thing. It doesn't break or end. We see at the end of Acts chapter 2, there's a little passage. I won't go through it all now. But it talks about what the church looks like when the Spirit is there, and great things happen. There's people being cared for, and there's people praying, and it's a brilliant picture of what a Spirit-filled church looks like. And God added daily to the number of people who were being saved. The Spirit transforms people and changes people. Well, I want to remind us before we leave that this is a great present, and we don't need to live like we're in the first stage of gift-giving anymore. I think it's very easy for us sometimes to come here and huddle together a little bit as well and to live our Christian lives here and not always remember to take it out with us when we leave into all the things that we do. I want to encourage us that the gift we've been given is alive and living in us now. It does change us. It produces great fruit. And it's a Spirit where people can see through all the things we say. They might see God at work, but also through the way we live and the things we do. I want to encourage us to take that with us when we go and to live as people who are changed and transformed by God's Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for us and then we'll have some more songs. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift that you have given us, your Spirit. We thank you that it lives in us. It does change lives. It is eternal. And we thank you that we have it even now. And I pray, God, that we will be Spirit-filled people wherever we go. We will not be afraid to live our lives as true followers of you in the things we say and the things we do. And I pray that you'll be with us as we leave this place this morning and we have our last few songs and we go, that we'll remember what a great gift that we've received. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.